Now, the first topic we have is about bicycles. So bicycles is a hot topic at the moment. If you try to buy a bicycle for yourself or your kids, you may have had to wait a while, as I hear they're in very short supply. But there's been many new paths across the hills, Parramatta and broadcast area, with many cyclists enjoying discovering new areas and, for riding off-road and through parks and along the Parramatta River. And we have the Parramatta River Escarpment due to open any day, and we can talk a bit more about that with our guest in a moment. And to talk more about everything bikes, I'm joined by David Thompson. He's the Advocacy Officer and Executive Member of Bike North here in Northern Sydney and Northwest Sydney. David, good morning.
Good morning, Darren, and thank you.
And tell us, what is Bike North? Who is Bike North?
Thanks, Darren. Bike North is a group of ordinary people who've got together to try and organise some rides around the northern part of Sydney, including the hills and the Parramatta areas. There are over 400 members, all are volunteers. We run about 15 rides a week, catering for all levels of interest and skills. For example, this weekend you could do a ride around the Northwest Lakes, take in the ponds and Stanhope Gardens, Ironbark Lake, or maybe another ride along the Parramatta River Cycleway. So a group of people who like cycling, who want to organise cycle rides and also work with local councils and the state government to improve cycle facilities in the northern part of Sydney.
Now, would you say that cycleways in and around Sydney, and particularly northern Sydney, and I know the hills and Parramatta, would you say that they're one of the best kept secrets of Sydney?
Most certainly, yeah. I've introduced friends in just the last year or so, and they are amazed by the things that they see, be it the Parramatta River Cycleway or the Cooks River Cycleway. They are amazed by how many routes there are that you can ride around in northern Sydney.
And would it be true that it's often a conversation you talk about riding, say, from Parramatta to the city, and everyone goes, well, I'm not going to do that because Parramatta Road is not for bikes? And that'd be true, but I know, and you could give us a bit more information about that, that to ride from there, from Parramatta into the city, you hardly have to touch a busy road, and there are lots of ways to get to the city. And would riding with Bike North be a great way for people to learn that?
So Bike North has rides right through the range of interest and skills, so you can start out on some quite straightforward rides, for example, around Sydney Olympic Park and have a nice cup of coffee and a chat to a few people along the way, and then develop those skills over time, all in a very safe environment. All of those rides, particularly for beginners, are on routes that are completely free of traffic. But even if you get to the point of riding, for example, from Parramatta to the city, there are very well documented routes from Parramatta to the city, and as you say, they cover very few busy streets. The occasional street, but usually very low traffic volumes. And if you happen to go along one of these routes on any given workday morning, you'll find there really are dozens and dozens of people riding to and from the city by bike.
Do we know the numbers of cyclists using all these paths? Is there any anecdotal evidence or actual data evidence of numbers of cyclists, and has it grown?
Indeed, I was just noticing some figures the other day talking about the new inner city cycleways where, for example, on one cycleway, the numbers have jumped from peak hours of 200 per hour to over 1,000. So a 5 times increase, and that's only been in the last year because of the provision of better facilities, but also, I suspect, COVID-19 and people trying out cycling during the pandemic.
So that's a big question. COVID-19, why has that made cycling like blossom and boom since the first lockdown?
A couple of reasons, I think, Darren. I think the first is that we've been stopped from doing some of our normal activities, some of our normal leisure activities, and we've been forced, shock horror, to actually spend time with our families and spend time doing some simpler things in life. And one of those is cycling. As you said, bike shops in Sydney have literally run out of bicycles as people have been trying out bike riding during the pandemic, a much simpler and much more enjoyable and healthy pastime than some of our usual pastimes. And similarly, there's been bikes being pulled out of the shed and out of the garage, and bike shops are having great difficulty keeping up with simply repairing and keeping bikes going so that people can try out cycling. The second point is that as we avoid public transport, we try out cycling. And for some of those shorter trips, maybe to the shops or maybe to the library or something, cycling is a very worthwhile way to do those short trips.
And a question for you there, if you don't have a bike and can't buy a bike, if you want to buy one, are there other options? Can you hire bikes and can you hire a bike and go on a Bike North ride?
You could do those things. There are a number of bike shops that hire bikes. Also, there are bike hires in some key locations, for example, Bicentennial Park. So if you want to try out cycling, you can very easily hire a bike and take a short ride around a very attractive part of the city. Enjoy the scenery as well as trying out a bike. Or if you're going to get a little more serious, go to a bike shop and look to hire a bike from that sort of location.
And I know in the Parramatta area there's also the Armoury Wharf. They've got bike hire there as well. And a big shout out to Advantageous and Charlene and her business where she does bike hire and also courses as well. So just as we go forward, we're just going to have a short break. You're on Alive 90.5. Spotlight with Jim and Darren Flying Solo at the moment, and we're talking with David Thompson from Bike North. Now, David, I understand you have a song choice for us.
Yes, thanks, Darren. We're dipping back into the distant past, but this is a fun one from 1970. It's the Push Bike song. I was surprised to find that it went to number one in Australia and even went to number two in the UK. It's a fun cycling song, the Push Bike song.
And here it is on Spotlight on Alive 90.5.
Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years' worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663 or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
It's 18 minutes past 10, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren. And I'm going solo this morning with Jim recovering from his hip operation. Hopefully we'll talk to him later. On the line I have David Thompson, Advocacy Officer of Bike North and also Executive Member of the Bike North Board as well. And then we're talking all things bicycle and Bike North. Now, the wonderful thing about a bike is it does not need too much space. Now, as our railways have developed and new bridges have been built, cyclists, walkers and joggers have been able to take advantage of the reuse of the old bridges. Two that come to my mind are the Como Bridge on the Illawarra Line and the Meadowbank Bridge on the Northern Line. Now, David, what is the latest with the old Meadowbank Rail Bridge, and we also know it as the John Whitten Bridge?
Yeah, thanks, Darren. Unfortunately, just a week ago, there was a fire on the John Whitten Bridge between Meadowbank and Rhodes, and the bridge has been closed. Now, that bridge currently carries many hundreds of cyclists and many hundreds of pedestrians every single day. It's unfortunate that it's closed, but there are some alternatives. We'll try and get to make sure that Ausgrid and Crown Lands work as quickly as possible to repair and reopen that bridge between Meadowbank and Rhodes.
Now, I understand that finding out who actually maintains, owns, operates and does things like these sort of repairs can be a bit tricky because there's different government entities involved, and also, as you say, Ausgrid, they have a power cable running there as well. So can you walk us through that and how you've been able to discover quickly how you can get the bridge repaired quickly?
Yes, I guess this bridge, this pedestrian bridge, is actually one of the great successes in the last 10 or 20 years. Being able to persuade the government and find the funds to renovate this bridge to make it available to pedestrians and cyclists was a big win for active transport, and is now very, very heavily used, and it's a success story from any angle. But having been renovated, the ownership of the bridge was then handed to what he called Crown Lands, which is part of the New South Wales Department of Lands. They're experts at owning land. But owning a bridge and repairing a bridge, maybe not so experienced. So we're trying to make sure that they are taking the appropriate steps to get that open as quickly as possible.
So can I just jump in there to kind of paint the picture? So normally a railway bridge would be owned by the railways, a road bridge would be owned by the council or state roads, but in this case it's like a bit of infrastructure that's being held by a non-infrastructure type body. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. And so we want to make sure that they are able to get some expertise to evaluate and repair that bridge as quickly as possible. And there's a further complication, which is that this bridge carries a number of major electricity supply cables, 132 kilovolt supply cable, and that's been damaged by the fire. So we've got to get Ausgrid experts onto the bridge, assess the damage, get that repaired, which may be difficult, and then move on to actually repairing the structure and certainly the decking of the bridge. So it may take a little time, unfortunately, but we do need to do it right, and we'll keep pushing to make sure that's open as quickly as possible, because this bridge is so widely and so well used by active transport participants.
Now, I understand that it's a heritage bridge as well, and that the original railway sleepers are underneath the actual decking that's used these days for walking, cycling, jogging. So do you know if those sleepers have been damaged and if there'll be further complications in reopening the bridge because of the heritage value?
Yes, the bridge is very well closed, very well closed off. It is very difficult to get to the site, and that's probably appropriate anyway. We have heard some reports that the fire in fact started in the sleepers, but that hasn't been confirmed. But as you say, if that were the case, then there would both be a structural difficulty, but also maybe even a heritage difficulty as well, because preservation of this bridge, which was built in the 19th century, is a key part of the renovation and the ongoing maintenance and provision of this wonderful old bridge.
So what's the latest that you know of reopening expected times from the various entities you've been discussing with?
Sure. It looks like being weeks rather than days, and even then it's not quite clear at this stage. Ausgrid right this very minute are undertaking the assessment of the bridge. They've then got to work out how long it will take them to repair that particular cable. They've actually then got to reassess the other electricity supply cables that are bunched together underneath this bridge. Hopefully they won't find any further difficulties. Then it gets handed to Crown Lands, who then have to assess whether there's structural issues and whether those can be dealt with in a heritage-sensitive manner. And then the decking itself, of the famous bang-bang, flap-flap metal decking of the John Whitten Bridge, would need to be replaced in that area before it can be opened again.
So we hope that it is weeks and not months, and very much look forward to hearing updates from you over time. And I also understand that another local bike group may be involved in all these negotiations as well.
Yeah, thanks, Darren. A number of parties are being helpful. The two councils involved here, who are Canada Bay Council on the southern side and Ryde Council on the northern side, are both strongly supportive, although they don't own the bridge. They understand the significance of it, and so they've been putting up signage for detours and things like that. And the local bicycle user groups are most involved, of course, on the northern side, Bicycle North. On the southern side is Baybug, and they've been assisting greatly in making sure that these repairs are undertaken as quickly as possible.
I'd like to finish off with talking about a great bit of infrastructure that's been created locally in Parramatta, and I think everyone knows it as the Escarpment Boardwalk, and that's from the ferry wharf through to under the Gasworks Bridge and onto the cycleway that goes further east. Do you know the latest of the Escarpment Boardwalk and the opening?
Yes, apparently the work there is complete or that close to complete, it doesn't matter, but there's yet to be an actual formal date disclosed for the opening. I'm sure that a lot of people would like to be involved in that opening, and I suspect that's why they're still trying to get a date for that opening. This is a great final missing link in the Parramatta Valley Cycleway. Already you can ride all the way from Meadowbank and Putney all the way to Parramatta and beyond to Parramatta Park, except for that one very small link along the escarpment opposite the CBD of Parramatta. It'll be a great day when that's open, but we don't yet have a date for that formal opening.
And it's true to say you can actually ride all the way from Windsor through to Meadowbank on off-road paths. And this is the last link. And that, I must say, is a fantastic outcome for cycling in Sydney.
Yeah, it's great. It's great, Darren. And there are so many of these routes that people just don't know about, but that are gradually being developed and missing links finalised to provide very long lengths of off-road cycleway for used by a beginner right through to a quite experienced rider.
So if our listeners here are listening and they say they want to get on a bike, they have a bike that's in the shed and it might ride, how can they get involved with Bike North? Can you lead us through that and maybe give a few links of how people can contact yourself or Bike North to actually get involved in cycling in 2021?
Yes, Darren. So our website is one of the best websites around. It's bikenorth.org.au, or if you just simply Google Bike North, it will take you straight to that website. And there you'll find loads of information, particularly about all the various rides that Bike North undertakes. You can take a look at the calendar and find out what rides are being conducted this week and next week and the different levels of interest and skill involved in those, and to choose a beginner's ride or choose a more advanced ride. See the details of that ride, both where it is, what the purpose is, even a map of where that ride goes. So there's lots and lots of information there on the Bike North ride, on the Bike North website. Or you are welcome to send us an email if you wish. For example, you could send an email to me at advocacy at bikenorth.org.au. So advocacy at bikenorth.org.au, or simply to info@bikenorth.org.au.
David Thompson, thank you for joining us on Spotlight this morning and talking through everything cycling and Bike North. I wish you well in following up on the John Witten Bridge fire and getting that open for all cyclists as an important regional route in cycling in Sydney Basin. And have a great day, and thank you for being our guest.
Thanks, Darren, and thanks for the opportunity to let your listeners know about the joys of cycling in Sydney.
And we're going to go out with Queen Bicycle Race, and you're listening to Spotlight on Alive 90.5.
Alive 90.5.